Okay. I guess we're live. We're live. Okay. So we're on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis in Megillah. Okay. So we are up to halfway down the page. The two dots, B'sheni u'b'chamishi b'Shabbos, b'mincha koren shlosha. Okay, so Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos Mincha, we read three Aliyahs. Okay? Avi, would you like to? No. Okay. All right. That was a clear head shake, no. Okay, Hani Shlosha, these three Aliyahs, Keneged Me, okay? What do they represent? Omar Rav Asi Keneged Torah Neviim Uksuvim. Okay, so they represent Torah, Neviim, and Ksuvim. Rava Omar, Rava says, no, Keneged Kohanim Leviim V'Yisraelim. Okay? So, okay, so, I mean, just, briefly, what does this what is this indicating? What type of idea is this indicating? Would you say? I mean, on the surface. Any suggestions? Okay. Well, right. If I say Keneged Torah Neviim Uksuvim. Right, so it means when I'm Kori the Torah, that Kriya, the Torah is representative of more than just Torah. It represents the entire Kisvei Kodesh, the Dvar Hashem. Okay? Oh, you can leave that open. I get warm. I get too warm, yeah. If I say that the three Aliyahs are Yisrael, Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael, so what would you say then? What would you say there? Right, that the Olam are not just Olam in their own right, but they're, so to speak, a shliach of the Am. Right, they're Olam, they're representative of the Am. Okay? Okay, so those are the two possibilities with the three Aliyahs. Okay? But now the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, now on to something interesting. The Gemara says, Elaha detani, Rav Simi learnt or taught, Ein pochsin meyud psukim the base haknesses. Okay? Vayedabar olamin aminyan. Okay? So the halacha is that when you're kore, when you do kriya satora, okay, the kriya satora must be in totality. Okay? When you're finished with all the aliyahs, the totality of the kriya has to be at least 10 psukim. Okay, you cannot do kriya satorah. I don't care if it's a short parsha, Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, Mincha, or Shabbos, or any time you're laying, the minimum kriya in totality must be at least 10 psukim. Okay, that's the rule. If you read less than 10 psukim, no good. Okay? Okay, now the Gemara asks, Hani Asar Keneged Me, but, okay, we're not going to really, take that up right now, okay? But let's just, talk about the minimal requirement that the psukim, that of all the psukim that you read, they must sum up to at least 10. You cannot have less than 10 psukim when you're Korei B'Torah, okay? Okay. Now, if you take a look at Tosfos, you find that this is not entirely true. Okay, as solid and an ironclad principle as it sounds, if you take a look at Tosfos, he immediately shows that there's exceptions. Okay, or one exception at least. Okay, Tosfos says ein pochsin me'asar psukim bebeis haknesses. You don't read less than 10. He says, "Vim Tomar, Bahare Parshas Amalek, Okay? So you know on Purim, I believe it is, right? When you curry the Torah in Shacharis, so you read Parshas Amalek, right? That's correct, right? Okay. Now, if you count up the psukim of Parshas Amalek, how many psukim is it?
Nine,
as everybody knows. It is nine psukim, right? So how could the Gemara say, in the face of that clear, blatant evidence, how can the Gemara say we never read less than ten? Okay, so that's Tosa's question. So Tosa says, Deleka ela tisha psukim. It is only nine psukim. Okay. So he says, Yesh lomer deshaini parshas amalek, desidra deyumahu. Okay, it's the Seder of the Yom. Umafsik inyana be. Okay, and it completes, it's a complete inyan. Okay? Umshimachi ein lachush. We don't care. And therefore, we are not concerned. Because since it's a complete inyan, okay, so therefore that's fine. Okay, and he says that later on the Gemara says the hachinami aminu kaman dein maftirin pachus michaf aleph psukim, that the Gemara says that with haftarah, when we read haftarah, we cannot read less than 21 psukim. However, behechad desalak inyana karen shapar b'pachus, but wherever you have a haftarah, okay, which I didn't look through the haftarahs, but I'm sure there are some, that where the inyan is complete, it's not there's less than 21 psukim. Okay. Do we know offhand of any? Well, I know when I used to once in a while I would read the haftarah, and I made sure that to look ahead in the weeks and find out what looked like a very short haftarah. And I said, oh, I'll do that one. And 21 sounds long, so probably those were less than 21. I don't think I would have jumped at those, at the 21 psukim. I don't think that would have really, you know. So maybe afterwards I'll take a look, but okay. But that seems to be the rule. So the rule seems to be that if the parsha is a complete thing on its own, okay, that we don't need to abide by this rule. Okay. So, I mean, the question is, what kind of a rule is that? I mean, we learned that a rule is a rule. Right? So what is the rule? You tell me it's a rule, except when you have a complete inyan. Well, what's the rule? What is the rule? So that is the difficulty. Could I just see? I just want to see something. If I want to pause this, I'd press the center button or
pause
the top button.
The realistic shear. So, what's the smallest amount that's qualitatively shear? Oh, we'll give it call 10. I think that. I don't know if that's how it works for a minion, but I think.
Okay, say this again. Let me hear this again.
Well, then what they should have done though is they should have said, all right, what's the smallest inyan we know? Oh, it's the Amalek one, so it should be nine. That's the standard.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that in terms of psukim, like nine is not qualitatively different from eight. So you're right. You could say
how isn't ten qualitatively different from nine?
Because
it's got a zero.
Double digits. We're talking a whole other ballgame here.
Right.
One
right.
Digit, now it's two digits.
Yeah, Roman numerals, you got an X. Now you're back to one letter.
Wait a second, what's the...
So what are you saying? Let me hear what you're saying.
I don't know, why is a minion 9 not 10? Why 10 not 9?
I
just think it's the same... I think
okay,
it's
but
same,
let me hear... Okay, so what
square.
Is it? Let's hear it. Let's hear
it. I thought that it was a qualitative square. Like, it's a qualitative difference, 9 to 10, because 10 is now... 10 is a new...
10 is a new quality.
New quality. You had a certain...
Okay, why? But okay, fine. I'll agree. Fine, I go with that. 10 is a new quality. But so I don't understand. If I have a complete idea, right? Parshas Amalek, it's a complete idea, apparently.
Yeah.
Right? It's a self-contained idea. Okay, so if I have a complete idea, then I could... That could constitute a kriya.
Right.
Right? Okay, fine. So, are you saying that you need a complete idea?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Right.
No.
You
I'm
can't
not.
Say that
I'm
because...
Not. I'm saying that you need a complete...
So one thing that qualifies is a complete idea.
Yeah, that's one thing. Okay.
Okay.
So the other, so then we have to make a ship. We have to make an objective shear as to what a complete idea could be. And to say it's 9, then you'll say, oh, why not 8? There's no difference between 9 and 8 and whatever, but there is a difference between 9 and 10.
Okay, so tell me what you're saying. So what are you saying then?
So I'm saying that really it should be an idea.
Okay,
a
complete
idea.
But
we're not. And how long is the shear for a complete idea?
Okay.
You have to make an objective length because.
Okay.
Okay. So what do we make it? Oh, we'll make it the smallest amount that's qualitatively different than.
We'll make it 10.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So in other words, what you're saying is that you must have a unit of learning. I mean, you must have a unit of learning. You have to decide what is right. Require the Torah. So we have to have a unit of learning, right? So one unit of learning is, if I have a complete idea, that's certainly a unit of learning. A unit of limud. In other words, if the kriya is going to be a unit of limud, right, then if I have a complete idea, even if it's one pasuk, that has to be a unit of limud, right?
Yeah.
But the question is that... Is a unit of limud only a complete idea, or can I evaluate? Can I make a unit of limud, even if I don't complete an idea, even if I don't have a complete idea? Can I make an objective unit of limud based on how much ground you covered? I mean, let's say a guy, you know, read, I don't know, he read a lot. He covered a lot of material. He didn't finish the onion. Fine, but would you say he didn't learn anything?
No.
Right? So in other words, if I need a unit of limud, right, if the one unifying thing between these two different ideas is unit of limud, right, so then I could say that one criteria for a unit of limud is if I have a complete idea. Okay. But I could say another criteria for a unit of limud is how many psukim you read. If you covered quantitatively enough ground, I'll consider that objectively a unit of limud, even if you didn't complete an idea. Okay? So that's, right? So that would be one way of understanding this concept. Right? That when the Gemara says you need 10 psukim, it's discussing a unit of limud. That objectively means you learned something. Okay, you covered enough ground that we consider that limud. Less than that, it's not limud. I mean, you got to read 3 psukim, that's not limud. He has to cover a certain amount to be considered learning. Okay? So, if you'd say in terms of that, in terms of covering ground, that there is a concept of learning, of covering ground and learning, so... That's the idea of the Gemara. That if you cover 10 psukim, you covered enough ground that we can consider that learning. Okay? But Tosa says that does not exclude the inherent idea of learning, meaning that if you really learned an idea, if you learned an idea that's contained in less than 10 psukim, that's also learning. You can't say that's not learning. Okay? So that's why he says that it's no contradiction. Because the 10 psukim is just supplying you with a unit of limud. But it's not to the exclusion of if I really did have a unit of limud that's less than 10, that certainly would qualify. So that's what Tosa says. That is not a problem. Okay? So if you want to put it, you know, you can put it in terms of unit of limud could be qualitative limud, that I actually completed the idea. But there's also quantitative. If I covered enough ground, that's also a criteria for a unit of limud. Yeah.
Wait, so why is that the quantitative amount?
Well, you got to have an amount.
Yeah, so why not, like, 9 psukim? Because that's...
We can't decide that. I mean, we...
That's the same question if it said 9. Or did you say why that? Meaning, like...
Because that's the smallest amount of the idea. Is that the same?
What?
That was the smallest idea.
What?
What's the smallest idea? 9?
Yeah, 9. We had an idea that was 9. Oh, so then why don't we use that as a shear for the amount of...
So we can't, we can't know why they picked this number. You see, we could just know that the number must be based on covering ground, because it can't be based on finishing an idea, because the temp sukkim is, it doesn't discriminate whether you finished an idea or not. The temp sukkim is just purely covering ground. You see, so therefore we have to say that covering ground, covering a certain amount of ground, is automatically considered a unit of limud, even if I didn't finish what I'm studying. Now, what's the amount? How could we know why they picked 10? They picked 10.
Right.
Okay, we could only say what is the difference between whether I say 10 or I say a complete parsha. That we could say. Okay, but why 10? We don't know. Could have been 20, 30. That's, you know, God's chachma. Okay? Well, as a matter of fact, the Gemara goes into what's 10 represent, but we don't have to worry about that. Okay? That's not our problem. If we were writing the halacha, if we were authoring the Torah, then we'd have tzaras. But now we don't have the problem. It was done for us, and we just have to understand in the aftermath what was done. And this is what was done. Okay, but let me ask you this. Based on Tosus's answer, say everything is very nice, right? Okay, but so what was his question? In other words, what was the question to begin with? The question was what? You need 10 dafka, and even if I learned something in less than 10, that's no good? Well, what kind of a svar is that?
Before we say the Amalek idea, like that there's such a thing as an idea that's shorter, so if it's shorter, then that's enough of a shear.
Before, you know, as Tosus was asking, it has to be Dafka 10. And 9 is no good, and I don't care if you finished an idea.
Right, okay.
So what was the idea of 10 then? If it has nothing to do with ideas, apparently it has nothing to do with ideas, so what is 10? Think a second ago. I mean, sounded good a second ago.
Maybe he's just learning that not if you're involved in limud, but I guess on the other side that 10 is really a measure of when you're involved in a kriya.
Okay, good.
Like you're not really doing a kriya satora unless you hit 10 seconds. Anything under that's not a kriya satora.
That's right. In other words, the Havmin of Tosfos was based on the premise that when you read the Gemara and the Gemara says less than 10 psukim is not Kriya Satora, that's exactly what it means. That to do Kriya Satora, a Kriya demands a minimum of 10. Less than 10 is not Kriya. You need a certain amount of reading to be considered reading the Torah. Less than that, you're not reading the Torah. You didn't read the requisite amount. Okay, so if you learn that way, so then you have a very good question. Because, okay, you could finish a million ideas, but you didn't read 10 psukim, that's not reading. You didn't read enough. You see, so that's why Tosfos asked, if it's a halacha of reading, how much reading you have to do, then you need 10. There's no substitute for 10. It's 10 or nothing. You see, but if 10 is not an amount of reading, but 10 is an amount of learning, you see, then I could have a substitute. You see? So he started off with the premise, the simple premise, which is the way we would learn the Gemara. 10 is an amount of reading. You see? And that's why we were stumped, because if you tell me 10 is an amount of reading, you didn't read enough. I don't care how many ideas you got. You see? So that was his havamin. And the maskana is that 10 is not reading, but 10 is an amount in the idea of learning, a unit of learning. You see, if it's a unit of learning, then I could have a different type of unit of learning also. It's not exclusive. Okay? Yeah.
Wait, why is 10 for reading a good shear?
What's that?
Why is 10 for reading a good shear?
Why is 10...
For reading a good shear? Why did we say that?
Well, 10, if you say 10 is a shear for reading, then there's no way to make it less than 10. There's no way to substitute any other number. You need 10 for reading.
Well, I don't understand that.
Are you asking why the number is 10 and not 9?
Yeah, the same question as before. Well, I don't understand why.
They picked the number, right?
But I don't, like...
See, our question is not why they picked 10.
That's the what.
I understand.
Our question is, if you tell me 10, then how could you use 9? That's our question. If the Gemara says 10... How could 9 pop up? It's not 10.
Okay, so I'm saying, what is the idea in a Kriya being 10 psukim?
Okay, so if you say the Kriya has to be 10 psukim, then you're saying the halacha is you have to open this book and read. You must read. Okay, now how much do you have to read? Read 1, 5? I mean, is there an amount that the Torah says you have to read before you yotze the mitzvah? Yes, you got to read 10 psukim. Now, if I read 9 psukim, am I going to be yotze? I don't care what you get out of the pasuk. Did you read 10? No. So you're not going to be yotze. See, so if it's a simple halacha of reading, then I tell you, if the teacher tells you you have to read a chapter, you didn't read a chapter. You could get a million ideas, but you didn't read a chapter. You're not going to get past your grade on the homework. You didn't read the chapter. You see? But if the teacher said you have to, comprehend certain ideas. Like I say, I didn't read it, but I got the ideas.
Okay, so what about 10 constitutes a reading?
That's not our question. You see, reading means where I verbalize the text. And 10 is a quantity of how much verbalization I need.
It's like saying, let's say the teacher told you to read 3 sentences. Who cares? That's
now you're
going to
ask the teacher,
that's
why 3? She says, that's because I'm telling you 3.
Right.
Okay, if you read less than 3, you're not going to comply with the rule.
Yeah, I hear that, but...
But if 3 is a halacha in something else, 3 is just an indicator that you were engrossed to the proper degree, you see, then it's possible to be engrossed with 2. Because I could say, even though I didn't read 10 psukim, and I was not engrossed from the aspect of how much I read, but I was engrossed in a different aspect because I got a certain idea from it. So even after 9 psukim, I got the same level of engrossment. I derived the same level of limud, of engrossment, and of knowledge as if I read 10. That's good enough. But if it's not engrossment, if it's the action of reading, there is no way to substitute a different formula when it comes to reading. The reading is reading. You didn't read 10, you didn't read 10. I don't care what you got out of it. You see?
Yeah.
So that was Tosafot HaMeidah. All right? Okay. So I guess the same thing with Haftaras. Haftaras is going to be the same thing. In other words, 21 is really a shear of how much you have to be involved in the Haftarah. You see, but if the Haftarah is a complete idea in less than 21, so you have the same limud. Okay, you have an equivalent limud. All right? Okay. So that's the thing. Now, if you take a look at Rashi, you see an interesting thing. Because apparently Rashi had the same type of approach. Because Rashi says, you see, the Gemara says that ein pochsim me yud psukim, you can't do less than 10. Vayedaber ola min haminyan. And if I have a pasuk, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe, okay, lemor, that's ola min haminyan. That's counted as one of the 10. Why shouldn't it be counted as one of the 10? I mean, if the mitzvah is 3 10 psukim, is that a pasuk? I mean, is there anywhere in the Torah where we learn that pasuk, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe, has less kedush than any other pasuk? I mean, if you leave that pasuk out, you're a kofer. Right, that pasuk has the same kedusha, the same chachma, the same everything as any other pasuk. Okay, so why should I say that they wouldn't be counted? Okay, take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says, "Vaydavar olam min haminyan, vaydavar Hashem al Moshe lemor, afa pi she'ein lilmo mimenu klum." even though you don't learn anything from it. Okay, oh, what do I care if you don't learn anything? And this is Kriya. So Rashi's saying the same idea, that the mitzvah of Kriya is to attain limud. It's really a unit of limud. So therefore, I might think that if I have a pasuk that on its own is not a chefza shel limud, that won't count. You see? So Rashi's saying no. It doesn't have to be, each individual pasuk doesn't have to be a chefza of limud. Okay, but if in totality you have 10 psukim, then you have the amount that you covered enough ground that you're considered a lomade. Okay, and it's not evaluated pasuk by pasuk. Okay, it's evaluated in totality. All right, but it's based on the same premise. Okay, that the kriya is a unit of limud. All right? Okay. Good? If it's no good, please wait till after. Wait till next week to ask me. Okay. Okay. And one more idea. One more point. Okay. So it's around 6 lines from the bottom of the daf. 2 dots. Ein pochsin mehen ve'ein mosifin. Okay, so the Mishnah says you don't change the number of olam. Okay, if you need 3 aliyahs, you can't go less than 3, you can't go more than 3. Okay, Gemara says, Tana. Ha-poseach mevarech lefaneha. So the poseach, the first aliyah, let's say during the week, you have Kohen Yisrael, Kohen Levi and Yisrael. Okay, so the Kohen is poseach. He's the first one that has the aliyah. So the lach is mevarech lefaneha. So he makes the bracha before Kriyas HaTorah. Sher bracha banu. Okay. But after, no bracha. Okay. Next aliyah, Levi, no bracha rishona, no bracha after. Last aliyah, Yisrael, no bracha before, but a bracha after. Okay. He says, that's the Gemara says, v'chosei mevarech lachareha. In other words, the original way that the aliyahs were set up, that the brachas were set up, is simply that the first ola reads the bracha prior to the kriya, and then the last bracha of the kriya is read by the last ola. Okay, so it's a bracha before the entire series, and then the last ola, he reads the. He says the last bracha when he's finished. But in between, however many aliyahs you have in between, nobody makes brachas. They're just called up to the Torah and they're kare. Okay?
Okay.
So now the Gemara says like this. Gemara says, V'ha'idna, but now it's changed. Why? D'kulahu mevarchi lefaneha ulachareha. As you know, when you get called up to the Torah, every single Ola that gets called up to the Torah makes a bracha, Shabbat Habana, before he reads, right? Before the Kriya, and Ashenaz Alano after, okay? Each and every one, okay? So the Gemara says, Hainu Taima, what's the reason? Ditakinu Rabbanim, why were the Rabbanim Masakein this halacha? Gzeira Mishum HaNichnasin Mishum HaYotzen. It was a Gzeira. Why? Rashi says, Mishum ha-nichnasim she'im yichnas adam l'beis ha-knesses. If a person will come to shul, ach shabir ha-rishon, he comes late. So he comes after the first one made the bracha. Okay, and the second aliyah is getting called up. V'im lo yishma es ha-cherim mevarchim, he doesn't hear Levi read the bracha before. Yomer ein bracha b'tar l'fanah. He will say, there is no, he'll walk away with the impression, with the misconception, that there's no bracha before Kriyas HaTorah, that there's only a bracha after. Because since he came late, he didn't hear anybody say a bracha before, and he only heard a bracha after, he says there's only a bracha after. Okay? So therefore, the Chachamim are Masakin, that each and every Ola has to read a bracha before. And what about the bracha after? So he says, Mishum HaYotzen, the people that leave early. Because what will they say? V'lo shamu esachosam. They didn't stay long enough to hear the last guy make the bracha afterwards. So Mevarch lacharav, v'harishonim lo barchu, the first aliyahs don't make a bracha after. Yomru, they'll say, hayotzim, ein bracha b'tar lacharav. They'll say there's only a bracha rishonim. But there's no bracha after Kriyas HaTorah, because they left early and they didn't hear. Every olah that they heard didn't say a bracha after. Okay, so therefore, the Chachamim are masakin that every person that read that gets called up to the Torah should make a bracha before and a bracha after. Okay, very nice. Except for one thing. Okay, before they made the tikkunah, what was the halacha? The halacha was that the only one that made a bracha before Kriya was the first olah. Now, let's say you'd call up Levi, you'd call up the second Ola, and he would get the bright idea that he wants to make a bracha too. So he makes a bracha before his kriya. Okay? Now, what would you say about such a bracha?
Vatala.
You say it's a bracha of Vatala, because it's a bracha shenei tzricha. In other words, a person can't make a bracha just on his own. Okay? So if a bracha is not necessary and a person does it, it's a bracha of Vatala. And if he'd make a bracha after, that would be a second bracha of a tala. Okay? So now I'd just like to know one simple thing. It's very nice that the Chachamim are worried that people are going to be have a big misconception, and they're going to walk away not knowing what's going on and having a misconception about who makes brachas, and they'll think there's no bracha before the Torah, there's no bracha after the Torah, they'll have all kinds of confusion. Very nice. You don't want people to be misled. But how can you institute a situation where everybody is making bracha levatalas in order that people should become educated? In order that people should be educated, each guy who gets called up to the Torah should make a bracha levatala. Because it's a bracha shein tzricha.
Who wants to institute it? It's not a bracha levatala anymore.
Say that again?
What's the institute? It's not a bracha levatala anymore.
I mean, let me ask you a question. Okay? Let's say there would be a reason that if I make a bracha buri piha eitz and I eat an apple, there would be some kind of situation where people would be confused and they would walk away with the wrong impression. Okay? So the Chachamim said they made a new takana that if you make a buri piha eitz and you eat the apple, okay, that bracha is only going to last you, halfway through the apple, you have to make another bracha. Okay, because we don't want people to get a misconception, and a guy might walk in after you made the bracha and see you eating an apple without a bracha, and he'll think people are not supposed to make brachas before apples. So the Chacham said that when you make a bracha before you eat, you have to repeat the bracha halfway through the achila, so that people know for sure that you made a bracha before the apple. I mean, now would you say that that would be a legitimate, that would take away the problem of bracha shenei tzricha? Or no, they would be, that would be tantamount to them telling you make a bracha shenei tzricha, because we don't want, make a bracha levatala, because you don't need this bracha really, make her a den, you don't need this bracha, because the apple's already, it's hatter. Right? So they're saying, we want you to make the bracha, even though it's a bracha shenei tzricha. Now, would you say that that would be a valid, valid example of them utilizing their power, authority to make to make rules, to make laws? What's that?
That's a good question.
Right?
So the new takana could define each person's li as a new kriya.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm asking. I'm as a question. As a svara.
Good.
That's the idea.
You can't talk.
Okay, well, get.
I'm his spokesperson. I'm just reading his computer.
Okay, so what'd you say? Repeat what you said. Yeah.
Oh, he's got it.
So the new takana could define each person's aliyah as a separate kriya.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's a good spot, right?
It's a good spot.
Thank you.
In other words... Right? In other words, the question is like this. The question we should ask is really, the question we really should ask is, why is it that only the first Aliyah makes the Bracha Rishon and the last Aliyah makes the Bracha Acharona? Why does each guy not make his own Bracha? Right? You call for an Aliyah, you're Kari B'Torah, so you make a Bracha before, and now you're finished, you make a Bracha after. Now the next guy gets up, let him make his own Bracha. Right? So why is it really that nobody in between makes brachos? What kind of a thing is that? Right? If I eat an apple and then you eat a different apple, you make a separate bracha. So why is that? Right? So the answer is because Kriyas HaTorah, you have to analogize it to a case of, let's say for instance, a person gets up to blow the shofar. Right, and he makes a bracha before the tekiyas shofar, and then he finds halfway through he can't continue. Okay, his he can't do it. Okay, so somebody else gets up and continues the mitzvah, continues his job. Now that new person does not make a new bracha. Okay, why doesn't that person make a new bracha? Because he is just a continuation of the previous person's haschalas mitzvah. Previous person began the mitzvah, couldn't finish, and therefore he is continuing the job of the previous person. So it does not require a new bracha because it's not a new inception, it's a continuation. Okay? So apparently Kriyas HaTorah initially was construed as one Kriya, okay, that really is just divided between three people. But it's really one mitzvahs kriya. Okay, so when you are Kori the Torah and you're the first Aliyah and then you stop, the kriya is not really over. It's just your part in it is over. Because the halacha is, unlike Tekiyas Shofar where one person does the entire thing, over here the halacha is that the mitzvah should be shared by three participants. But they're really participating in one kriya. Okay, it's really one kriya that's being interrupted momentarily to give somebody else a chance, so to speak. Okay, so if it's one kriya, then you understand why only the first person makes the bracha rishona, because the second guy's not doing a new kriya; he's just continuing the activity that the first guy started. Okay, so that's really why it would be a bracha levatola, because it's one long kriya. You see, now the only way the Chachamim could be masakein that the second guy should make a bracha is not just by ordering him to, you see, or be mechayef him to, but they have to change the structure of the mitzvah. So really what the gezeira was, that instead of this kriya being one undivided long kriya, one unified kriya, it's really three totally separate kriyas. You see, and the kriya that the first guy does, his kriya is complete. It's a complete unit of kriya. You see, but the halacha is they demanded that there be three such units. Okay, but each one is really a separate kriya. So once they said that, that's what enabled them to fulfill what they wanted in terms of brachos. To avoid the problem of misconception, they had to reformulate the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. And they said, instead of it being one mitzvah, it's really three. Okay, now that it's three mitzvahs, so now naturally, each guy has to make his own bracha. And if he wouldn't make a bracha, he's not going to be helped by the fact that the previous guy made a bracha, he'll have a mitzvah without a bracha. Okay, so therefore, that's really what they did. They changed the formulation of the mitzvah, and that demanded that each guy make his own bracha rishona and his own bracha achrona. So that's a good case, really, where you see the difference in the tam hatakana and the takana itself. You see, they had a reason to make the takana because they wanted to accomplish, to avoid certain misconception. But that doesn't mean that they could do it. There are a lot of things that the Chachamim were worried about that would have liked to institute in halacha, but instituting it now requires a separate cheshbon. You have to see, one second, is there a way we could reformulate the mitzvah to accomplish what we want, to be mechayev everybody to make their own bracha. But you can't just say, well, we're going to be mechayev everybody. You see? So that's the difference in the Tama Takana was, we want everybody to make their own brachas. But the Takana has to be now something that makes sense out of that. Okay. So the Takana was to break up the Kriya into three. That Takana really had nothing to do with the Tama Takana. If you're worried about people not hearing brachos, what's that got to do with breaking a Kriya up into three? You see? Breaking a Kriya up into three was something that accomplished what they wanted to accomplish. Okay, but they had to do it through a reformulation of the halacha. Okay, so a reformulation of the halacha is different than the tam. The reasoning could be X, but what you actually formulate will be a totally different thing. Okay? Alrighty?
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, yeah,
fine. We got more.
Okay.
And there's still a problem that each of the three separate kriyas don't meet the necessary shear.
Say that again.
Isn't
that a problem?
Isn't it still a problem? Each of the three separate kriyas don't meet this necessary shear. What shear?
Of ten.
Of kriya of ten.
The number of psukim. Yeah. You going back to the psukim thing?
As you're saying, because the Gemara before said that in order. And to have a kriya, you must have ten psukim. Right? And if you tell me now, which makes sense, why it would be one Kriya, right? So it's one Kriya of ten. And now you're telling me that you split the one Kriya into three. So how could that be? Because now each Kriya is not a Kriya of ten. And if you tell me each Kriya is separate, so it comes out, what, this guy was Korei, didn't qualify for Kriya Satara. How could they split it up into three? If they split it up into three, they'd have to have each guy read ten. But there's no halacha like that.
I mean, you have to say that they're joining together.
Yeah.
They work in tandem. I mean, even if you want to say they're separate.
Right.
It's like two different types of kriya. There's just like an overall overarching, you have to have a kriya of ten psukim. Just ten psukim need to be read. Doesn't matter who, what, where, when, they need to be read. And then you just have three separate kriyas which make an overarching system, I don't know.
Right. I gotta think about it. It's a good question. I gotta think about it. That's a good question. Okay. So we'll think about it. You know what that means?
No.
I'll think about it. I will really think about it. It is a good question. Okay.